It's invitational season in the competitive Splatoon community right now, with tons of events happening to showcase some of the best teams in Splatoon. Who has what it takes to come out on top? Will there be a clear ranking of teams at the end? My name is KBot, and here, I'll be sure to keep you up to date on the happenings of the competitive Splatoon scene week by week. Hello there, Inklings, Octolings, and whatever other sea creatures you may identify as, and welcome to the launch of Season 2 of the Weekly Splat, where I discuss some of the news and happenings in the competitive Splatoon scene in the past week. Starting now, I'm going to do my best to provide weekly episodes for this podcast this season. The season is currently slated to last through the end of March, with the last episode likely wrapping up the PAX East finals of the North American Inkling Open. Between here and there, we've got 7 weeks of high-quality Splatoon action happening all around the world, and I'm going to do my best to cover the major developing stories for those 7 weeks. Beyond that, though, I'm not quite sure where this podcast will wind up. With all that being said, I'm going to slightly restructure this podcast from what you're used to. I won't be scraping up your weekly dose of tournament results. For those results, be sure to keep an eye on the IkaFeed Twitter account, where I'll do my best to post and retweet the results of many tournaments. This season, we'll continue to have the opportunity for viewer input. If you wish, feel free to send me a voice message through the Anchor mobile app about anything discussed today, including your predictions for upcoming events. If you're not listening via Anchor, you can also send a quick voice clip to IkaFeedSplat@gmail.com. Whew! Okay, now that I've got all the housekeeping items out of the way, let's dive right into Week 1, which featured the culmination of Game Set Matches Grand Prix. On Saturday, the GSM crew held a finals event a month in the making. The GSM Grand Prix started with qualifier events, where teams would earn points by placing well in those events. The top 8 were then invited to the finals event, which took place last Saturday, where Deep Blues and Luminous Sea tied for 7th, Ghost and Cheap Cheap Squad tied for 5th, Loki placed 4th, FT Win took the bronze and earned $100, Backsquids placed 2nd place and earned $300, and lastly, Kraken Paradise placed 1st and earned $600. The tournament featured a set play format, where teams played in a best-of-3 Splat Zone set, where the losing team picked the next map. After this set was over, the losing team then picked the next mode, and the first team to win 2 set victories won the match. With that out of the way, here are some interesting results from Saturday. Even though Luminous Sea and Deep Blues each placed 7th, they didn't go down without a fight, as Luminous Sea took Backsquids to 9 games and Cheap Cheap Squad to 7 games, while Deep Blues took FT Win to 9 games. In other news, FT Win lost to Backsquids, but only after 8 games, and we should probably also note that Ghost Gaming had an unfortunate disconnect situation versus FT Win in their match. Kraken Paradise, however, won the event in dominant fashion, only losing 1 game during the entire finals event. Their performance in the Grand Prix seems to further solidify their seat as one of, if not the best, team in Western Splatoon right now. In order to try to understand why, I sat down with Kraken Paradise's Gray from France on Sunday. So, Gray, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me, I guess.
Yeah, no problem. So, it's pretty safe to say that your team in Kraken Paradise was extremely dominant yesterday in the GSM Grand Prix finals event. I think you guys only lost like 1 game the entire tournament yesterday.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. So how do you feel about, you know, winning in such dominant fashion?
Well, we are feeling very well, honestly. Like as you said, we pretty much dominated the whole tournament with only losing 1 map. Like, everybody was really strong and fun to play against. So, yeah, this was super fun and very relaxing to play overall. Like, the concept of counter-picking was very good. In my opinion, it led to several strategies and maps, mods that the team wanted to play on and not, like, predefined maps.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was very cool.
Okay, cool. How do you think that, like, in-game, your team was able to really pull off and thrive in this format, whether it be the counterpick format or just, like, what you guys did as far as strategy goes in-game? Like, how do you think you guys were able to pull off what you did yesterday?
Well, basically, I think Kraken Paradise is a mix of the best, like, individualities, wait, how do you say that?
Individual players?
Wait. Yeah,
Yeah.
like, I think we are a mix of best individual players and coupled with a great team play and good coordination. Like, I think we complete each other's in term of mindset and roles. Like, for example, we have a frontline Kiver who mostly plays Dualies. Then we have Flontro, who is a hybrid between frontline and midline, with a Thrasher mainly. Then we have me, like I'm pretty much flexing and doing the objective for the team, also as well as painting the map. And then we have Kaji as a backline who pretty much like do a great job. So yeah, I think we have an excellent team play and coordination, and we all know what to do at our roles.
Okay, cool. So as we kind of look ahead to what's happening in the coming couple of weeks, we've got so many more invitational tournaments coming up, one of which being InkTV's Invitational coming up next Saturday. While Kraken Paradise hasn't been announced yet, I think it's pretty safe to say that you guys are almost guaranteed to be in that next week, barring any unforeseen circumstances. And I think it's also safe to say that we might be able to see teams such as Backsquids, Lowkey, and potentially teams like Deep Blues and Luminous Sea, all of whom you played or were in the tournament on Saturday in the Grand Prix event. So, do you guys think you have what it takes to take the Invitational next Saturday? There are some pretty formidable teams there. Do you guys think you have what it takes? And yeah, you think you can go all the way?
Yeah, I think we do indeed. Like, I mean, we already won the first Invitational. It was with the help of Banana, who was probably the best Blaster this time, but now he's not here anymore. But our lineup remains very strong, in my opinion. Well, we literally proved it in the tournament yesterday.
Right.
So, yeah, I think I mean, we are pretty confident going into this tournament. It's gonna be fun to play. We really liked the first Invitational, so yeah, the second one will be just better.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun to watch. So out of the teams that have been announced so far to play in the Invitational, who do you fear having to play the most and why?
I think the team we are fearing the most is FT Win. I mean, we don't really fear anyone, but like, if I had to choose, it should be FT Win. They will most likely play without Bursty, which is good for us because Bursty is very good with H3. So yeah, I think they are just annoying to play against because we have trouble against their weapons. And we are not really used to play against them, like in scrims.
Right, because there's a little bit of a region difference there. Obviously, you guys are
Yeah,
European, so
obviously,
you're.
like, yeah, we are screaming. Yeah, it is not the same time zone and so on. So so we don't really play much against them.
Right.
So yeah, but in Europe, I think if I had to choose, I would still pick Ghost because. Yeah, they are also a team that we consider. They have really good players, but I think we are more afraid of FT Win for now.
Just because you're kind of more unfamiliar with, facing them.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you feel about this? Is kind of a side note. So one of the last teams that was announced last week was a team called Undecided, which featured Tic Tac along with a couple of other Japanese players who've been kind of entering. We've seen them in a couple of Black and Spoon tournaments and things like that. Do you? I mean, obviously, I'm not really familiar with them as much, and you probably aren't as much either. But do you have anything to like comment on, on behalf of that? Like, how you think you guys are going to go up against them?
Well, we already faced these players in another tournament, and we almost won. Like, we kinda choked. Like, it was in a group stage. We lost by 1 point, so it was kinda unfortunate. And we were playing with a sub.
Gotcha.
Control wasn't here, so it was different. But we almost won, and yeah, I think we are like we are excited to play against some Japanese players, of course.
Okay.
Like, I don't know, it is like Yungali at the ITV Open. It is always interesting to play against other players.
Yeah, do you happen to know what tournament that was in that you played them?
I don't remember, honestly.
Okay, that's
I'm
fine.
not gonna lie.
All right, well, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you.
And best of
That's
luck in the coming
nice.
weeks.
Yeah, thank you.
Later on Sunday night, in an effort to get another take on the results from the GSM Grand Prix, I got to sit down with Melissa, also known as Acid Sunshine, who commentated the event on Saturday. So, Melissa, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Of course. So obviously yesterday you were involved on cast with the GSM Grand Prix. I just kind of wanted to get your reactions to the event as a whole, and kind of like your thoughts on Kraken Paradise winning, and obviously the rest of the teams to follow after that. So just kind of wanted to get your thoughts in general on the event.
Sure. So first, I mean, the event like technically started 2 months ago when we had our first qualifier, because the Grand Prix event actually was took place over like four tournaments that were spread out.
Right.
So the first qualifier was, I'm like grabbing that date right now, but that was on the 5th of January. So we're looking at like 6 weeks of placements basically. And I think from that first moment, I had banked on Ghost to win. And I was like, you know what? They played so well in this first qualifier. They're doing absolutely amazing. You know, they've been playing so well in general. I think they have this. And then going into finals yesterday, I mean, Kraken Paradise is so strong. They have been strong every time I've seen them. And I love watching them play because of that. And I feel like their team synergy has just like that thing that you want to see from competitive Splatoon teams. So it was such a joy to be able to watch them, and then they completely 4-0'd the entire thing. Every
Right.
set that they won, they won.
I think they dropped one game
Yeah.
for the finals event, which was something interesting to see. Granted, they didn't play every team, but
Right.
I mean, that
Right.
should be in a bracket, obviously, that should be characteristic of, the best teams are the ones that you're facing, the team that beat the team before. So yeah.
Absolutely. So that was, you know, pretty amazing to watch. And it's always really nice because GSM is like a where most of us are based in New York, and we have the backing of Gen Game and Aeon. It was really nice to be able to go and cast this in person. And I think that that's like a different level that casting a person brings a different level to a tournament, because you're able to actually be face to face with the person you're casting with. You're watching the exact same game. There's no delay. There's no someone's internet is messy or
Right.
frame ratey or whatever's going on. So just having Walkman there too was a really nice feeling also, because we were able to get hyped together at the same moments. Like that moment that Kyo popped off and got like 7 kills in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Was absolutely amazing. And we were both just sitting there, and I mean, I was like standing on my chair to like get closer to the computer screen and watch this go on. And it was just a really wonderful thing to be there for, even though they didn't end up winning the tournament.
Right.
You know, because Kyo was playing on FT Win, so obviously, they didn't win the tournament. They came in third. It was still this moment of sheer joy. And I left that tournament, like I left yesterday, Aeon, and I drove home and I was like, this is to me what casting is all about. And like, these are the moments that I live for, watching a fantastic tournament with high level of competitive play and watching those types of things happen over and over again.
Yeah, and the great news is with kind of the schedule that we have over the next kind of month and a half or so, we've got a lot of those types of high quality tournaments coming up with the Invitational and things like that. And we'll get more headed more towards the Invitational here in a moment. But kind of along those lines, we saw Kraken Paradise completely dominating. So out of like the GSM teams, or really any team in general, who do you think is most likely to beat Kraken Paradise or dethrone Kraken Paradise? Or do you think they're going to hold on to that for, you know, the next couple of weeks?
I think Ghost has a really good shot at it because Ghost has shown that they're really strong over and over again. I found out after the tournament that it was, I think one of the players hadn't quite practiced with everyone else just yet. So it was kind of a new situation for them. And I think that threw them off just a little bit.
Right.
But I think that they definitely have a chance. I mean, Backsquids played so solid yesterday, but obviously, you know, they weren't able to take it from Kraken Paradise. I think FT Win, when they have, you know, they usually have an addition to their roster. And I think when Shaq is playing, it might be a little bit of a different situation. They all played really phenomenally yesterday, but Shaq brings this other level to the team and everybody gets hype with him at the same time. And you can see that when he plays in person for his events, that he always has this like level of energy that the rest of the team feeds off of him.
Sure.
So I think that I would say Ghost and Feed to Win, FT Win, would probably be like my guesses for taking this off Kraken Paradise for the upcoming month and all these tournaments that we're having. I would love to see Kraken Paradise make it out to a LAN, though. I think that would really be the deciding factor. I want them to be sponsored. I want to be able to meet all these awesome people. But also just seeing how they do in a team, like in-person environment, might be really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I think it actually worked out kind of nicely in the GSM Grand Prix finals that we had four European teams and four North American teams. And obviously, you know, in the past couple of weeks, you've heard people go on and on about how, you know, Europe might be just like, or Europe definitely has shown time and time again that they are, their teams are seemingly generally beat North American teams, you know, time and time again. But with, you know, with the Grand Prix event yesterday, you know, we saw FT Win go pretty far. We saw Low Key get pretty far. And even the games with Deep Blues and Luminous Sea, I know Luminous Sea versus Backsquids was one of the only sets all tournament to go to a game nine. So do you think that the kind of gap in skill between Europe and North America that's been talked about and thrown around a lot, do you think that's narrowing? And I just kind of wanted to get, you know, your opinion on that, your feel for that overall.
I do think it's narrowing. I think it's also that sometimes I don't want to like pick anyone out of this. Sometimes though, things happen and players say, you know what, I'm done with Splatoon. I don't want to play competitive anymore. And they like back off and they take a break and they take some time to recenter themselves. And then when they come back, they're just so much stronger and they're able to put forth this different mentality because they did take a break. And I kind of think we're starting to see that within the NA world of Splatoon because, you know, Smash Ultimate came out and I think a lot of people were like, hey, I want to play this. I want to take a break from Splatoon. And that was the lowest amount of teams signed up like that December month for, you know, BNS and a lot of the tournaments that the competitive Splatoon scene was holding right after Ultimate came out. We had the lowest online attendance that we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
So I think that that definitely reflected that people were playing that instead. And after that, coming back from this break, I think now NA is a lot stronger and they're ready to just step up. And you can see it also in the way that people are choosing their comps. They're not playing the same thing that they played every other time. They're picking things up. They're making changes. I mean, Kraken Paradise doesn't need to make many changes in terms of what they're doing. So maybe that's not what NA wants to do. But I personally feel like a team is strongest when they're playing weapons that they're most comfortable with. And, like, we can say this is what the competitive scene looks like right now. This is the meta. But if you're swapping weapons to be in the meta, you don't have as much comfortability with whatever that meta pick might be as something that might not be meta, but you know you can handle a little bit better. So I think that's what NA teams are slowly realizing and starting to figure out because we definitely see players pick up things that they're really good at and they play it so well. And we're like, why would you even think that's so outside meta? That's nothing that we would have thought that someone would want to play. And I think that that's really feeding into this idea of NA teams getting stronger and stronger.
All right. So now, kind of talking specifically about the Invitational, obviously over the course of last week, we had 8 teams get announced. And in addition to those 8 teams, it's pretty safe to say that, say, like Kraken Paradise, probably Backsquids, Loki, and potentially, Deep Blues and Luminacy will probably wind up being invited and be playing this weekend. So what kind of predictions do you have for how things are going to shake out this weekend? Who are going to be maybe our top four for the weekend?
Well, if that's who we're going with for our teams, I would definitely think our top four are probably going to be Cheap Cheap Squad. They've been playing so well. Every time they play, they're like, "Hey, we were a pickup that now became a real team." And you're like, "Yeah, thank goodness you became a real team."
Yeah. Right.
I think they've been playing really well. So I would put them in top four. I would put Ghost in top four. And I would put Kraken Paradise in top four. Now, my like kind of wild card would either be FT Win, Loki, or Deep Blues. It's no secret that I absolutely love Deep Blues. I'm a huge fangirl for them. So I would love to see them go far. And I know that yesterday they didn't play their best and they were really frustrated with that. So I'm pretty hopeful that they'll be able to shake that off and go pretty far within this tournament if that's what they go for. But I think it just really matters with what's happening, as like silly as this sounds, with what's happening within the individual players' lives on that weekend.
That's
One of
true.
the things that we saw with the qualifiers were that a lot of the teams would be checking in and they're like, "Hey, our so-and-so player didn't wake up yet. We can't play. We have to drop." Or, "So-and-so has to do this," or, "This family thing happened." And I
Right.
think that what we see with a lot of these younger teams is they really don't have control over their schedules like a lot of us older people do. And that just gets really challenging for them when they want to compete and they want to play. Now they need to find a sub. Maybe that sub isn't as comfortable with the rest of the team members, or maybe they're more comfortable and they play outstandingly and they get picked up. Whatever the case, it definitely shakes things up a little bit for the rest of the team. And I think that's something that a lot of people tend to overlook too, because not everybody is paying attention to the mentality and the availability of these players as much.
Yeah,
And
that's
it's
true.
something, yeah, I mean, it's something I also bring up when casting a lot too. When you go into a tournament and you come, like your first set, you come off of a loss, that messes with your head so much. And it really does kind of get under your skin. And I don't think it's just me who feels that, but lots of players need a moment to like shake things off and just feel better about their play. Find a way to elevate what they're doing, change something around, even if it's like go do like a bunch of jumping jacks out in your hallway or something. And I think the people who can recognize, "Hey, that really messed with me. That sucked. We need to shake this off," are the ones who come back stronger over and over again. And that's where like this last, that's kind of, sorry, the roundabout way I was going for this was that I think it's really going to depend on the mentality of the people playing that's going to round out that last fourth team to me.
The more like on the day of sort of a thing.
Yeah. If like, last minute, somebody has, I don't know, they're not feeling well or there's outside influences going on that we would never even know about
Right.
that just might affect their level of play. And as they're playing, we can see it when they're playing, "Hey, so and so missed that shot. That should have been an easy pick for them." We're like, "What's going on? You're dropping all these splats that you should be able to pick up over and over
Yeah.
again." I think that that's just kind of going to kind of be what it comes down to, because I Ink TV picked phenomenal teams. And I think right now, I've only been within competitive Splatoon for about 18 months. So I can't say for certain, but from what I've seen, what I've heard about the Splat One competitive scene, right now, we are the most competitive that we've been. We have the highest level of teams competing, the highest level of players. And I think that this is really what it's all about. Like you said, this next month is going to be amazing in terms of invitationals alone, no?
Right, yeah. I was actually counting earlier today, and I think we've got something like the next 6 or 7 weeks in a row are going to be invitational tournaments. Whether that's, you know, from obviously the GSM Grand Prix finals event, which I'm kind of counting as its own invitational. There's the Invitational. Mm-hmm. There's the Nintendo, obviously the NA Inkling Open that's kind of ongoing. There's the European Championship, the official European Championship. So there's just so much stuff happening that it's going to be, I think it's going to be really interesting to see kind of how everything pans out. But unfortunately, you know, the Invitational is going to be the kind of the last time in that span of, you know, these next couple of weeks that we're going to see North America versus Europe.
Yeah, because a lot of things start to get separated out with, you know, the Nintendo stuff that's going on. That's very kind of regional right now. And I'm hoping, my fingers crossed, that they decide to do some sort of Worlds event within the next couple of months. But obviously, we don't know that yet.
Right.
But yeah, there's a lot of things that have sort of separated out and gone their own way. Ink to the Rhythm is an awesome thing that's happening in the EU. That's the invitational you were talking about, the EU one. And that's going to be really fun to watch too. But you're right, it's European team. So I wonder if the Inkvitational is going to be what kind of determines where some of these teams will end up when they're facing themselves, sort of.
What do you mean by that?
Like, we are throwing, like you said, you know, this, the Invitational will kind of be the last time that we're seeing for a little while NA versus Europe teams, right? So if we can say this is how they fare up when it's like NA versus Europe, then every other tournament is going to be, how does NA fare just against NA? How does Europe fare just against them? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's kind of what I'm thinking about here.
Like setting a baseline, almost.
Yeah, set a baseline. Perfect. Yeah, sorry, yeah. My words are failing me.
That's fine.
Exactly.
All right, well, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm truly humbled and honored. And, you know, it's been a great pleasure to talk to you today.
As with you. Take care.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Of course, the GSM Grand Prix Finals event was only one of the many upcoming events where we'll be able to see top-quality Splatoon. Future events include the qualifier finals of the North America Inkling Open in 2 weeks on March 2nd, the official 2019 Splatoon 2 European Championship in 3 weeks on the weekend of March 9th and March 10th, in 4 weeks, on March 16th, the recently announced Ink to the Rhythm Invitational from Player Unity, featuring 8 top teams from Europe with a play-in tournament as well. And of course, all of this is leading into Beacon 2019 in Long Island on March 22nd and 24th, and the North American Inkling Open Finals event at PAX East on March 30th. That said, this coming week is the second Inkvitational hosted by InkTV. I alluded to it a couple times in my interviews this week, but the Inkvitational will host 16 of the best teams in Splatoon at the moment for an action-packed weekend. As of the recording of this segment on Sunday night, 8 teams have been announced, including Ghost Gaming, In Control Gaming, FT Win, El Firmament, Demise, Polar Ace, Cheap Cheap Squad, and Undecided, a pickup team of primarily Japanese players, with 8 other teams getting revealed in the next 4 days. To stay up to date with the team reveals, be sure to check out InkTV's Twitter account at InkTVSplat. It will be interesting to see what the results of this tournament are, with so many storylines heading into the tournament. Will Kraken Paradise continue their domination? Will North America come up with a strong showing versus these top European teams? Be sure to set your calendars and tune in to the Inkvitational on twitch.tv/InkTVSplat this weekend, February 23rd and 24th, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern on both days. That concludes this week's episode of The Weekly Splat. If you're interested to learn more about what I talked about today, there will be links down in the description of this podcast episode. Special thanks to Gray of Kraken Paradise and Melissa for sitting down with me for interviews this week. Their Twitter accounts will be in the description below. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and follow me on Twitter for consistent updates at kbot_273. If you have any feedback, feel free to message me there as well. The Weekly Splat works in tandem with Ecofeed, as both products aim to keep you, Splatoon players, informed about the competitive community. If you're not already following Ecofeed on Twitter, I suggest you do to stay up to date on the most recent competitive Splatoon news. I'd love to hear what you think about the current state of Splatoon. Who do you think is going to win the Inkvitational next week? To chime in, send me a voice message through the Anchor mobile app, or, if you're not listening via Anchor, send a quick voice clip to ecofeedsplat@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, cephalopods, and happy splatting.